Udsendelsen, du lytter til, er finansieret af Kontrasts medlemmer. Hvis du kan lide det, du hører, så meld dig ind på kontrast.dk/medlem.
Du lytter til Trans og Tradition. Denne podcast omhandler identitetspolitik og ideen om, at dine politiske holdninger skal dikteres af din identitet. LGBT-miljøet i Danmark, men også i Vesten generelt, er blevet kapret af den yderste venstrefløj, der ikke efterlader plads til anderledes tænkende. Som ung borgerlig transseksuel er jeg optaget af de fordomme og kontroverser, der er omkring det at være en minoritet og højreorienteret, og hvordan LGBT-bevægelsen og identitetspolitikken er begyndt at gå for vidt og kaste sine sorte skygger over den vestlige verden og vestlige kultur. Og jeg vil gerne vise, at der findes et alternativ til venstrefløjens seksualpolitiske dogmer. Hi, and welcome to Trans and Tradition. I have a very special American guest with me today. And who are you? I'll let you introduce yourself.
we'll say that I'm the most hated lesbian on the internet at the moment. But secretly, we say secretly the most loved, because most people agree with you and I. They just won't admit it, right? Which is why the people that love us also hate us, right? Because they want to be us, but they're afraid to be us. We just say that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But my name is Arielle. I've been making content on YouTube for over 10 years. Marcus has been in some of my videos. I feature a lot of LGBT guests, including myself. And we talk about culture, recently politics, sexuality, dating, relationships, and I do travel as well.
Awesome. And so something I want to ask my guest is, what is identity politics to you?
To me, identity politics is two things. One, if you are a certain race, certain gender, certain sexual orientation, society expects you to think, behave, and vote a certain way. And identity politics is also an oppression system, like a hierarchical oppression system. Whoever is the most oppressed should get the most speaking time and so forth, or have the camera on them, so to speak, all the time. And I disagree with all of that. I think that, you know, the right person for the job, so to speak, is the best way to go. Not just because they shouldn't get a job just because, you know, the vice president of the United States is a woman. Oh, everyone's so happy. She's the first, you know, black woman, Indian woman, whatever. And it's like, but is she the best woman? Like, should she have been first? There's probably a lot of women that were better than she is. Just because she's black doesn't mean anything, right? And I think that's where we're at now. And I just completely disagree with all the identity politics. But I would like to know what you think of it.
Oh, well, it bugs me. Identity politics, it bugs me a lot. Because you stop thinking about what's going up here. It's about, what do you see? And you can't help. I can't help that I'm trans. I can't help all these things that doesn't really mean anything when you think about it. And recently, I've had friends who, it seems like they wanted to be friends with me because I'm trans. But as soon as I opened my mouth, they were kind of disappointed. And then they're nowhere to be found. So interesting.
So they expected you to be a certain way because you're trans.
Right.
Isn't that the real definition of transphobia? Like thinking that all trans people are the same? I mean, Right. Literally, that's exactly what it, right? Just like racist, like you expect all black people or all white people or Chinese people or Asian to be the exact same because of how, you know, they identify or because of their race. It's like, that's the actual definition of racism.
Exactly.
Or just expecting them all to be worse than you or better than you or whatever. Lumping everyone together in one thing, you know?
What's your experience with identity politics?
Oh, man, my experience. At first, I would say the first 7-8 years of my career on YouTube making videos, identity politics helped me because I was like the token lesbian. And I'm still okay being the token lesbian. Like, if brands want to use me as the one gay that they use in the campaign, I'm all for it. Diversity is a real thing, like, and it's important. But when it gets to the point where you're only adding people in because they're trans, not because they're trans and they have a good message, or they're trans and they're talented, that's when I have an issue with it. That way being a token is not good in my opinion. And once I started speaking out against identity politics, against the crazy leftist agenda, the woke mob, whatever you want to call that type of people, the mob came for me multiple times. And I've at this point in the last four years, I've been canceled. I can't even tell you how many times, but am I really canceled? Like, I guess not, because I just found a newer, better, more consistent, more logical, smarter audience. And I met friends like you, Blair. And I guess I came to my senses, and I feel coming to your senses in the identity politics world is the best thing you can do, because you will be treated better for having a different opinion only on everywhere other than the left. That's the only place they will not accept different opinions.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised too, that there is a community for people where you can be embraced for being LGBT and for being conservative or just not on the far left. And it's really heartwarming. And it's a really great community.
Both, yeah. There's a lot of us now.
Yeah.
And how many mess
and Denmark.
I would say for every one person that you see that's speaking about it, like you and I and Blair and Rob and David, I would say there's 50 people that are not speaking about it. Would you agree?
Yeah, because people.
How many people are in our DMs every day?
Exactly.
Every day. I wish I could say it, but I have a corporate job, or I work for a not-for-profit, and they can't. I mean, they can talk, but they're afraid to, you know?
I think people are too scared, and it's a shame, because what does it say about us? Are we so wrong for doing what we're doing that some people can't say what they have to say? I don't know. So, yeah, so you started out making sex educational videos and about sexualities. Mm-hmm. And what made you want to talk about politics or culture issues?
Because culture issues are political issues these days. And I saw the political issues seeping into gay culture, and it was directly affecting me. And of course, like, sometimes it comes down to it being a selfish thing, right? If it doesn't directly affect somebody, not that they don't care, but they might not realize it, right? It's like people don't fight for gay rights until they realize they have a gay friend or a gay family member. Then they're like, oh shit, like I should probably like think a little bit about this. But it's just not in your, you know, everybody is a little bit selfish when you're doing the human experience. What was the question again? I forgot your question. Sorry.
What was the last drop? Like, you know, you boycotted the left, you can say. And so what made you boycott the left?
Because they were self-sabotaging. They were sabotaging everyone that wasn't perfect in their eyes. And to me, that's a big that's a big red flag. It's toxic, because you're not allowing room for growth. And you're also shifting the goalposts every 5 seconds, which is an abusive tactic that that abusers use. Like, the main thing was that I didn't agree with a lot of what they were saying anymore. But more importantly, I could be friends with people that I disagree with. I'm always going to be pro-choice, and I understand people that are pro-life, and I don't think they're bad people for it. I understand the argument completely, and I understand the science behind it. But I would never be accepted, fully accepted as myself with my views and my feelings on the left. And I would not be accepted that way anymore. So I didn't want to keep myself in a toxic situation is really what it came down to. I did a video called All the Ways the Leftists Are Abusing You or something like that. And it was about all the typical emotionally abusive or mentally or even physically abusive, in this case some people are being physically abused by progressives now, all the ways that those types of people are being abusive in public sphere, yeah, or in private even, right? And I think I went to like an emotional abusive relationship chart online, like I found one, and I was like, I wonder how many of these little pizza pie slices, because it was in like a little pie, I was like, I wonder how many of these are also things that progressives use to control people. And it was like 13 out of 15 of them, you know? And I was like, gee, and I knew something was off, but I didn't realize that, I guess I didn't realize you could be abused in friendships and in online friendships, relationships in that way. I've only experienced that in romantic relationships at that point.
Yeah.
That was a huge wake up call for me.
That's awesome. And speaking of the hate, you get a lot of hate online. You have been called a TERF. So for the people listening or watching, TERF means trans exclusion. What
exclusionary.
Is radical feminist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Meaning, and this is also identity politics, because this just means a transphobic person. But it's in particular a feminist woman who is excluding trans women from a conversation about women's rights or something. Mm-hmm. And it is identity politics, because why don't you just call that person transphobic? Well, it's because they expect a transphobe to be this white cis straight male. So
they created a new word. They created a new word for it. Yeah.
Then they feel so smart because they have created a new word. So
right.
How do you respond to the hate you get and how people are calling you a TERF?
Well, I mean, at this point, I'm just like, I usually just mute them. I don't even give them I don't even block them at this point. It's too much work. But if they keep calling me names and stuff, I'm just like, I don't want to see it for my own mental health. But I also disagree with it. It's something that I don't think that I am. If you just look at the definition of trans exclusionary radical feminism, I don't technically fit that definition. Like, but I'm also logical about it, right? I don't think that trans women should be involved in most physical, biological talk when it comes to female rights, because they don't need those rights, right? Mm. Like if they're trying to talk about abortion or whatever female rights we're talking about these days, abortion or like if we're in Iran or something, we're talking about rights over there.
Period.
Trans women would not, right. Their rights are very different over there. If people knew they were trans, it's more of a trans rights and not a female rights thing. But in the sense, you know, trans women do belong in some conversations, in my opinion, when it comes to women's rights, because most of them, at least the ones that I know, do pass as women. They live as women, and they deserve to be socially, like when it's a social conversation, they deserve to be involved in the conversation, right? And that makes sense, because it's the same thing. Like, just there's certain biological things that biological conversations that I wouldn't be involved in, you know, because let's say maybe it's about people that survived breast cancer.
Yeah.
I have not survived breast cancer. I'm not a breast cancer radical exclusionary radical feminist. Like, it doesn't physically make sense to have me in that space because I'm not experiencing that. And trans women are not physically experiencing those things that females do. They are socially and sometimes, I guess, mentally, right? Because there are brain differences. And in those conversations, I think they should be included. But I think it would be ridiculous to include somebody like Karen White, or whoever, some trans woman who doesn't present as a woman, doesn't make any physical changes, and completely, you know, push them forward in the feminist narrative. It's like, that's not why feminism was created. So I don't think I'd fit the technical definition of it, but I think people these days just use that word to mean bitch is really what it means, which is actually sexist. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Do you think that these particular people, there are not a lot of these people, and it's mostly used as a slur, or?
I don't think there are that many TERFs. I really don't. I think that the majority, you know, I think the majority of feminists are like me. They're logical and they understand that marginalized people do need to be protected, but not at the expense of another minority group, right? Like, that's where the line is drawn. I don't think there are that many people that are like, ew, trans women. Like, I don't know anybody that's actually like that. I really don't. Like, I personally don't. Have I seen people online once in a while? But out of every person I've ever met in real life, I do not know, not even one person that thinks that way. They're like, oh yeah, like, I get it. We should protect them. But also, like, they shouldn't look like men and compete in sport, women's sport. Like, you know, yeah. It's a logical conversation that we usually have about it.
And I think it's so immature of these people to call you a TERF, because even before you became political, you included trans people in your videos, because you often do videos with other people interviewing mm-hmm. them. And like, why are you transphobic now then? It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I was transphobic to them then as well, just because I didn't include every trans person. But these trans people or queer people, or let's be honest, most of them are very young kids that just hate themselves. And I feel bad that they hate themselves, but that's not an excuse to hate me, right?
No.
A lot of these kids do think that they're like fulfilling God's plan, right? They think that they're doing well. They think they're doing good in the world. They're putting good in the world.
They're a trans soldier.
Yeah, they really think that they're like fighting some battle that, you know, they're fighting somebody else's battle, so to speak. They're helping other people fight for their human rights. And in some cases, in very few cases, it's accurate. But at this point in the conversation, most of these kids hate people like you and I just because we think differently. Yeah. You know, the same thing with Caitlyn Jenner. Look at all the hate she got when she, you know, when she came out as conservative running for, and now she's running for mayor or governor. I forget. I think the governor of California. Yeah. Cause it'd be the mayor of Los Angeles, governor of California. Yeah. She's running for governor. And I think if there were a trans person that would win a mayor or governor position or whatever, it would be California, but California is so progressive that I think they'll actually like, cause by their own standards, right? Because she's trans, they should vote for her. But they won't. So they're going to, it'll be interesting to see progressives turn their back on somebody that's a trans woman after all that they say that trans women are oppressed, blah, blah, blah. But now you have this wealthy trans woman who is an Olympian athlete, all these things, who is a Republican who doesn't think like you. And all of a sudden they turn their back like that. So hypocrisy, just like always on the left.
It's amazing to see these people go from acting so tolerant and, oh, we love trans people, but when the trans person has a different opinion than them, they get hate in their eyes, and it's they need to check into a mental hospital. I'm just saying.
So, no, you're right. I think you're right.
If you can switch that quickly,
it's not healthy. No, it's toxic, and they're not aware of the fact that I don't think they're aware of the fact that they're switching like that. They're just like, okay, you're bad now, I'm going to turn my back on you. And that's it. They don't think of how, they don't even know, realize how they came to that decision.
Yeah.
They're just like, you're disagreeing with us, you're bad. That's their thought process.
And that's where they forget about identity, which they're obsessed with in the beginning, but then they only hear conservative, they only hear Trump, they only hear Republican, and then they forget about this person going through a gender transition. So it's mm-hmm. kind of, so yeah, as you said, you have said multiple times, feminism and trans activism bump heads. And I think you explained that quite well. But you are not anti-trans rights, and you
absolutely not.
No. And I don't understand why you can't say the statement that you said and then still be pro-trans. You also had friends who are trans, and they are now, we don't have to talk about, but they're now mm-hmm. turning their back on you.
Right. I think a lot of people saw that happening before I did. A lot of people knew that was going to happen somehow, but.
How does it feel to get, you know, I don't know if I can say that word. How does it
you
feel?
Can say that it. You can say it.
Get it on by people you cared about, and then they publicly mm-hmm. Criticize you. Because what I don't understand is how they say, oh, we still love her and care for her. We can just not say publicly that we support her. And then they call you transphobic on all these things. So
yeah, it doesn't really make sense, does it? Yeah. I think that what really happened with those friendships is I think they were very young, and in their mind, somehow they thought that I was somehow taking advantage of the power that I had over them, even though a lot of them have more subscribers than me at this point. It's like, I don't really understand that argument. But I think that just from the political conversation aspect of it, I think we did agree on a lot of things, and then we slowly stopped agreeing on things. And then because they're in that leftist headspace, you would disagree with me, you're gone.
Yeah.
So I think that they're more leftists than they think, because even like people like Blair White, I agree with her very much so usually, but even if I don't turn my back on her. In fact, it just makes me want to promote her more and be friends with her more, because it might be a generational gap thing too. I was raised to be around people that think differently than me. I think that's healthy, and I think it helps you grow. And the echo chamber thing, obviously also toxic. But I think with those friendships, I can name names if you want. Like, are we going to do that? We can. Like, I mean, it's public knowledge, right?
Yeah, you can do it.
I mean, Sam, London, Ryan, Calvin, those are the main four, I guess. But in regards to those people, they're very young. And I think they are also worried about their money and their fans, their supporters. I hate the word fans, but they're worried about people that are supporting them currently not liking me, and they don't want to be, it's guilty by association.
Yeah.
And it's really sad that it's come to a place where you can't be friends or even associate with somebody that you disagree on a certain topic with. Yeah. They're automatically a terrible person just because they disagree with you on even one little thing. And it's extremely abusive behavior to do something like that.
You have You have lost not only trans friends, but other members of the LGBT community. And it's mostly because they are on the left, and
yes,
they are apparently not tolerant, even though mm-hmm. they preach they are. So now that you are more in the conservative community, how are they treating you there?
I can disagree with a conservative person or a moderate or a libertarian or anyone that's not progressive. I can disagree with them and have a full conversation and disagree with them the entire time, and we'll still smile and be friends on the outside again.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You should be able to disagree with people and know that they're still a good person. Because the truth is, nobody's like, black people are bad, trans people are bad, lesbians are bad. Nobody's actually saying those words. If they were, obviously I wouldn't be friends with them.
No,
that's not where this is going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not where this is going. This is like emotions versus logic sometimes, a lot of the time. And it's, you have to think like us or you can think differently. And that's the healthy side to be on. You know, the right side is like, at the moment, that's where it's at. If it shifts to the left in the future again somehow, then I'll drift to the left again. Or if it's in the middle again, then I'll, I think politics can be fluid in that way, because I don't think anyone agrees 100% with each side. I think everybody, it's like a sexual orientation scale, right? Like there's very few people on the ends. Most people are in the middle.
Yeah.
And I think people on the left don't realize that they're in, it's funny because they say that we're in the cult, right? But they every aspect of their community is cult-like. If you actually look at the definitions, oh my God. But I mean, I guess some people on the very far right could be considered a cult-like as well, but like, I don't know anybody on the very far right. They would hate me.
Yeah.
Right? So
they hate a lot of their own people.
Right.
And the reason why I'm also asking you this is because you are a feminist, not like the
second wave feminist.
Thank you.
That's a big thing that I say. A second wave feminist, not one of those crazies, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I love you and I love your videos. Sometimes you say stuff I don't necessarily agree with, and I think you know where I'm going with this. And it's when you touch on,
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. It's when you touch on the feminist issues. Do you experience that other conservatives who are more conservative than you, they have talked to you about it, that they disagree with the feminist points you make?
I guess it depends on what feminist points they are.
If you say, if you end a point saying, oh, it's because of misogyny, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that typical to hear it on the right. It's more a left leaning, because
yes, I agree with
a
you.
Little bit more on the left. So mm-hmm. but you still experience people on the right being tolerant and open to yes. hear what you have to say.
I think here's the thing. I think misogyny does exist in the world, and I think what's the opposite of misogyny? When it's hatred towards men, I think that exists.
Yeah,
I don't even know. That's funny that I don't even know what the word is. I'm sure I know it, I just can't think. But I think that also exists. I just don't think it exists as much as these people are making it out to be. So when I say something is misogynistic or sexist, it must have bothered me a whole lot for a certain, like for, I don't use those words lightly like everybody else. Everything's racist, everything's sex, microaggressions. I don't do that. So if I say something, and I could be changed, like my mind, excuse me, my mind could be swayed, you know? There have been times where I've made videos recently, within the past year, where, you know, I made a video, I put it out there, and then somebody, like a good friend of mine, commented on it. And I was like, oh shit, like I really didn't think of it that way. And I changed my view of it. And I'll just like delete the video or do an updated video or whatever. And that's great, because it just makes me want to create more content, right? And I think it's good. People on the left don't want to see the progression. They want to see like this person is perfect from day one, and they don't speak out against the community, right? They don't speak out against the cult. But that's not how the world works. We work in waves, right? We go up and down, up and down, up and down. Like we have these moments where we're feeling great about how we feel. And then we're like, oh shit, that wasn't like the perfect way to say it, or that wasn't the right thing to say, or maybe I regret saying it, whatever. And then you start going up again. You talk to your friends about it, or your community starts talking to you, and you're like, oh, like, okay, I'm like, okay, over here now. And there has to, you have to allow for that to happen. Otherwise, like, it's not healthy to be like this. This is not, that's not how feelings in life, it's not how feelings work.
Yeah. And it's especially hard when people like us, anti-political correctness, when we're like, I'm just going to say what I want to say. Well, that's a good mindset, but sometimes you have to be careful of how you say certain stuff. So I think us, I wouldn't say in the middle, because I'm not really in the middle, but us, especially LGBT conservatives, we're good at stuff like that. You know, catching ourselves doing something maybe we shouldn't have said it in that way, and then we all learn and grow from being online. And I think it's amazing where the far left, they don't want to learn, they don't want to grow, they want to stay in whatever they have.
They want to stay in their victimized, oppressed state, and that's another way of controlling people, right? And people on the right, or people like you and me, whatever, however they identify, recognize that controlling somebody isn't healthy in any sense of the word. And it's a sad thing, but some people like being controlled, and it's usually people that don't have self-esteem, and it's a lot of people on the left that tend to be that way. And I wasn't a fan of that. You and I aren't fans of that. I think you recognize it way earlier than I did. And you're a kid. So I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you. And you have a lot of people that look up to you more than you think. And you're inspiring people like me. So just know that.
Oh, that means a lot. I've been following you for a very long time. I think since I was 14. So it means a lot, you saying that. And I think, as you said, it's about maturity, and the more immature you are, the more you don't want to grow and also talk about things that makes us uncomfortable, because I think people on the right are more willing to take these discussions that makes us uncomfortable.
And oh, absolutely.
That's how we grow, you know?
Yeah. But I think people on the right are also willing to take the uncomfortable conversations and talk about them, because we don't directly associate our feelings with it. We're able to separate conversation and feelings, right? Because we're not directly intertwined with, you know what I'm trying to say? You can distance yourself from it a little bit and say, okay, like this is important. And even no matter how I feel about it, we have to have a logical conversation about it. Take my feelings out of it. Logically and scientifically, biologically, whatever, how does this make does this make sense regardless of how I feel? People on the left don't know how to do that.
It's because politics is not only about you, it's about other people.
Like, it's about society, right?
Yeah, because if someone is asking me, what do you think about this trans issues, I'm not talking about how it would benefit me. I'm thinking about all trans people or as many mm-hmm. trans people as possible. So
right.
it's about thinking about the majority instead of yourself.
Right.
Awesome. My God, it's been amazing talking to you. And
I'm glad. I got to make my ass out to Denmark one day.
Yes.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Or you got to come to New York or Florida.
I think, yeah, that could be.
That's probably more likely, right?
I think so. But you are welcome here in Denmark. You do travel a lot also.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'd love to come visit you.
Yeah, great. Where can people find you?
You could find me on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/Arielle with 2 L's and 2 E's, E-L-L-E at the end.
Nice. And on Twitter and...
And Twitter and Facebook and all those other things, yeah.
Just look up
Arielle Scarsella.
Awesome. Thank you. And thank you all for listening and watching.
Thank you so much for having me, Marcus.